We're starting a series tonight on God's prophetesses in Scripture. I've never taught on this. And I was amazed when I got into the prophetesses that God speaks about, whose ministries are listed, all have unique ministries in regards to men. And when it's interesting. Tonight we're on Miriam, God's servant who learned her role. We'll be spending our time tonight in Numbers chapter 12, 1 through 6. When God created the first woman, he made her to be a helpmeet for the first man. That's Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. And I firmly believe that even though the helpmeet role there was for a man and a wife in marriage, I honestly believe that that carries over into the relationships of men and women in general. It's just, you know, women in general are designed by the Lord to be helpers of men. Well, four women were prophetesses of the Lord whose ministries are recorded in Scripture, and their ministries involve specific relationships with men, revealing God's idea of a woman's being a man's proper helpmeet. We view each prophetess in her ministry to learn God's lesson on a woman's godly role as a helpmeet. I want to read, first of all, Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll get into the entire lesson. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, "And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman, or an Ethiopian woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us?' Now the Lord heard it. And the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, 'Come out, you three, into the tabernacle of the congregation.' And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tent and called Miriam and Aaron, and they both came forth. And he said, 'Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?' And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off of the tent, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, 'Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one that is dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb.' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'Heal her now, O Lord, I beseech thee.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed for 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again.' And Miriam was shut out from the camp for 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards the people removed from Hatzaroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran." Okay. Though she's not named in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, Miriam was Moses' older sister, whose first ministry for the Lord was watching over her infant brother Moses as he floated in an ark of bulrushes on the Nile River. We guess, we don't know, we guess that Miriam was about 12 years of age at this time. She would have been old enough so that when she communicated with Pharaoh's daughter, she was responsible enough that Pharaoh's daughter would interact with her. So she was probably the first one that was born. And then Aaron was born probably 6 years, 9 years after that. And then 3 years after Aaron was Moses. Moses was the youngest. Anyway, Miriam's parents were Levites in Egypt at the time when Pharaoh had ordered that every male child that was born to the Hebrews was to be cast into the Nile River. However, when Miriam's mother delivered an infant son who was a beautiful baby, She believed that her son could well be another Joseph who would end up in Pharaoh's court to save the descendants of Jacob from starvation. So she hid him for 3 months. That's a pretty good guess on this woman's part. Why would God give her an unusually beautiful baby? Maybe they hadn't had beautiful babies in their family or extended family for a long time. And all of a sudden, this is an unusually beautiful baby. So she thought, well, maybe he's the deliverer. The last deliverer they'd had was Joseph. So she thought of holding on to this little baby. So she hid him for 3 months. But then his cry began to get too loud. And when she could hide him no longer, she made a basket of bulrushes, dabbed it with bitumen and pitch to keep it afloat, put her baby in the basket, and placed it among the reeds by the shore of the Nile River to hold it there for the daughter of Pharaoh to see and to adopt to be raised in Pharaoh's court. It was a pretty shrewd move on this woman's part. And the baby was put in this floating little basket in amongst the reeds. The reeds would hold it there. But she just wanted it there. Well, the baby's older sister Miriam stood at a distance to see what would happen to her brother. And I'm sure that Miriam was informed by her mother as to what to do when Pharaoh's daughter came along. And Pharaoh's daughter would often bathe in the Nile River, partly for religious reasons and whatnot. So when Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe in the river, she spotted the basket and opened its lid. And she saw the beautiful Hebrew baby who was crying, and she felt a motherly compassion for him. Well, at that moment, Miriam just happened to come up and ask Pharaoh's daughter if she could get a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for her, and she replied, go. Miriam's mother was then paid to nurse her own baby for Pharaoh's daughter. I think that's the only woman in history who was paid to nurse her own baby. And she and Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses, since she had drawn him out of the water. Moses in Hebrew sounds like to draw out. Well, later, after God uses Moses and his, I know I wrote younger here, it should be older, my apologies. Later, after God used Moses and his older brother Aaron to lead Israel out of Egypt with the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, when Moses sang his song of victory for God's deliverance, Miriam was used of God as a prophetess of the Lord to lead Israel's women in antiphonal singing and praise to the Lord. In Exodus 15, 20, and 21, the first verse of Moses is actually the chorus that was picked up by Miriam and the women. So Moses sang that opening, and then the women repeated it. He sang verse 2, and then the women repeated verse 1, verse 3, and they repeated verse 1 all the way through. It's called antiphonal. They'd sing back and forth. And this is something that is done in formal worship. Well, however, in Israel's wilderness journeys, Miriam had to learn her correct role in serving God. Due to her important role in preserving her younger brother Moses' life when he was floating in the ark on the Nile River, and due to her important role in leading Israel's women as God's prophetess and praising the Lord at the Red Sea, Miriam considered herself to be a very important servant of the Lord. Now, she was. In fact, we're going to find out near the end in Micah chapter 6, verse 4, God said, I sent you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to lead you out of the wilderness. So she was a significant figure, and she was a prophetess. The problem came is when they took on Moses, and God wanted Moses to lead them, even though he's the baby brother. So when Moses married a Cushite woman, this would have been a black woman, but in those days she might have been high class, and that was a little intimidating. Miriam and Aaron felt that they had been outshone, so they spoke against Moses. They said that God had spoken through them, and not only through Moses, showing that their main criticism was not against Moses' wife, but against his role over them. Apparently, this is something that had been simmering. You can understand in a culture where the older people normally, and the older brothers and so forth and sisters, get the priority. You have an older sister who's, 12 years older than her youngest brother. You have Aaron, who's 3 years older than his youngest brother. And their youngest brother is leading them both and leading the nation. And this apparently ground Adam underneath. It was something that bothered them. Well, Moses was a very meek man, Numbers 12:3, and he could easily have been had his leadership motivation crushed by his dominant siblings who were older. So when the Lord heard the complaint, he immediately had Moses, Aaron, and Miriam come out to the tent of meeting to meet with him for a resolution to the problem. This is where God kind of acts like the staff sergeant. All right, front and center, all three of you out. You can just see it come out. And then they go out to the tent, and then he says, okay, Miriam and Aaron, step forward. They step forward, and so he's got a little talk to give to them. But he wants Moses to hear this because he needs to encourage Moses not to give up on his role as of leading the people. So God came down on a pillar of cloud, made a big scene about this. He stood at the tent door and he told Aaron and Miriam to step forward, Numbers 12:5. Then he informed them that he spoke with his servant Moses face to face, unlike his more indirect communications with Aaron, Miriam, and Israel's other prophets. Numbers 12:6 to 8. God's anger was then kindled against them, and since Miriam was apparently the leader of this rebellion, God struck her with leprosy until Aaron and Moses had interceded for her to be healed. God had Miriam stay outside the camp of Israel for 7 days before Israel moved again. Of course, this would have been very embarrassing for her. Everybody in the camp had to wait until Miriam, who had been struck with leprosy, was cured and healed, and when she came back. So when she came back, she was good and humble. And that's where she needed to be at this point. What's interesting is that in Moses' final message to Israel, he reminded them of God's punishment of Miriam to warn them to heed God's commands regarding leprosy in Deuteronomy 24, verses 8 and 9. Nevertheless, and this is interesting, the Lord in Micah chapter 6, verse 4, much later, acknowledged Moses, Aaron, and Miriam as the people he had used to lead Israel out of Egypt in the Exodus. So she did have a significant role. She had the most significant role in Israel's early days as a woman, because she was a prophetess. It wasn't the chief role that Moses had, who was the baby brother, but nevertheless, it was an important role. So though God used Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to lead Israel out of Egypt in the Exodus, Aaron and Miriam, in particular, had to learn that their role was to submit to Moses' leadership role when he became God's servant. So an application may we learn to accept the role God assigns us in life without proudly seeking a higher human status. It's interesting, we can apply this not only to Miriam, but also Aaron. Aaron had followed, apparently, his sister in this situation, but both of them needed to be comfortable and be satisfied with the role that God had given them. But on Moses' end, may we learn to be humble like Moses, that God might use us like he also used Moses. Now, there's a verse that I'd like to look at in regards to this. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5. The Apostle Peter wrote this. let me see if I can find it here. Yep, 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. After he had talked about the role of elders in verse 5, let me just give some background here. He says, likewise, you younger men, submit yourselves to the older. Hey, all of you be clothed with humility, actually, towards one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility is something that comes before exaltation. Pride comes before a fall. It's interesting how that works. And with God, see, Moses had the stuffings knocked out of him when he was on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years. And then when God called him, he really didn't want to do anything. No more public work. No, I don't want to do this, Lord. And finally he said, please get somebody else. And then God got a little angry at him, but Moses did finally yield it. But Moses had genuinely gotten to the point where he was a genuinely humble man. So when he went to see Pharaoh, he just as soon not go. And that's the type of person that the Lord's looking for to lead his people, because that's a person who's trustworthy. See, God told Aaron and Miriam, Your brother, Moses, he's trustworthy in my house. He's more trustworthy than you are. He's more faithful. He's had the stuffings in life knocked out of him, so he's going to do exactly what I want to do. So That's a real lesson for us to learn. Humility is something that God views as greatness, and He can trust a person to lead with that. So that's something we can learn. But I think that's interesting. Miriam was a woman. Yeah, she was older. And Moses was the baby brother, but nevertheless he was a man. So she had to learn how to be a helpmeet to him. And in being a helpmeet to her brother, she fit her highest calling, the calling that God wanted her to have in life. It's fascinating.